You ready to learn? Amen. Love to be in church. I love to be in church. Just quickly, I know some of you have heard and others that my stepmom, not my mom, my mom's right there. My stepmom, who my dad, it's a long story. I've got a long story. But she passed away through cancer, very aggressive. Within a month or two, from beginning to end, it was very, very fast. So thank you for those of you who sent me condolences, and my brother Ernie and as well. But my father, keep him in your prayers. He's, I don't know how old he is. He's about, 74 now? 76? My, he's aged since the last time I checked. My dad, he's doing well. We got a chance to talk to him, Ernie and I, and he was telling us about how he ran away from the Lord for 40 years. Does that sound familiar? 40 years in the wilderness, right? That's the story. For 40 years, he ran away from the Lord. And just about in 2008 or something like that, what is that, 9 years ago, he came back and as we were to the Lord, and he came back hard. So we're so proud of him. and he was just talking about how, well, I have to do Sunday school for the next 4 weeks, so he's a teacher now in Sunday school, which is what he was doing before he went away from the Lord. That's interesting. But he's teaching Sunday school, adult Sunday school in a church in Weslaco, and so keep our family in prayer, keep him in prayer, my half sister and my brother, half brother as well. They're obviously, she was their mother, much closer than I was even. So they're definitely needing our prayers. But thank you for your prayers and just believing that God's gonna continue to bring peace that passes understanding in that situation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we're ready to learn. I want to welcome Michael Davis, who is here. If you'll raise your hand real quick, visiting us. Let's give him a warm welcome. Okay, thank you, Michael. I pray you feel welcome in this place. We're going to just go into God's Word. And last week we talked about commitment, how commitment brings salvations, right? When you begin to commit to the Lord, all of a sudden, you impact people, right? And you may not know how or what God, but it does happen. It does happen. And commitment is so important. And I want to do kind of part two on that. Commitment to God's plan is the title of this sermon. Commitment to God's plan. So I want to continue on this word commitment. Pastor Green warned me, be careful about talking about commitment. You start running people out. I'm like, why? Commitment's not easy. You know why? Because commitment requires you to die from your own agenda. Amen. That's why it's not easy. Right? Commitment requires everything Jesus said about take up this cross, follow me, die to self. Commitment requires something deep. So commitment is not easy. Amen? The commitment to His true calling for you, to God's plan for you. It's not easy. I want to make that clear. It's not easy because the enemy doesn't sleep, and because our carnal, sinful nature is trying to resurrect itself. But the Word of God says that when we become Jesus' heirs, we are new, and our own sinful nature is dead and buried. That's who you are. You keep walking on that path, even when you make a mistake, that doesn't change that. Amen? You keep on committing to the cause. So a reminder to write a thought down, right? Everyone has something to write with, or your phone or something. Write a thought down, because I do believe God speaks to us every week when we listen, and He has a word for you that you understand. Last week's message was about commitment. When we commit to our relationship with God, then things begin to happen. Lives are changed. We learn that we do not lose faith during life's trials last week. When we go through adversity, We don't just, oh, I guess God doesn't love me anymore. No, God's people, when they go through trials, they don't get weaker, they get stronger in the Lord. Amen? I believe my Father is going to get stronger in the Lord. Not weaker, because he's gone through something difficult. I believe that's all of us. You've been through a lot, but here you are in church, committed to hearing God's word, committed to worshiping together, committed to being in God's plan. Just keep getting stronger. Keep getting stronger. We know that all things work together for our good. How do we know that? It's in His Word. Amen. All things work together for good for those who are in Christ Jesus, working according to His purposes, right? And so we know that. We get stronger. Even the harder things in life don't stop us. We just get stronger. We read the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They only got stronger in the fire. Right? How did they get stronger? Not because of their own will, but because the fourth man was in there with them. Why do you get stronger in the Lord when you go through trials? It's not because you're awesome. I'm sorry to tell you. It's not because you're better than anybody else. It's because you're holding on to Jesus through it all. The reason we get stronger in the Lord through trials is very simple. Because the fourth man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if we hold on to Him, we're not going to faint. Amen. We're not going to falter. We're not going to stumble. Those that wait upon the Lord, you'll renew your strength. Right? You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk, you won't faint. You'll just grow stronger. Grow stronger. One warning about commitment, and I'm doing my best to bring this point home to leaders, to people in ministry, and those of you that are just growing in the Lord and doing work and volunteering to help with the outreaches. Awesome. The work is awesome. The work is a joy. Amen? But just always want to keep things in perspective about commitment. No commitment is more important. No work in the church, no commitment is more important than your personal relationship with God. Ever. Jesus Christ. You know the story of Mary and Martha. Right? Nothing's more important than sitting at Jesus' feet. Right? The other sister wanted to make sure the house was clean. Right? Which is okay. But that never comes before the relationship with Jesus Christ. So important to keep those two things in the proper perspective. No commitment is more important than your commitment for that personal relationship. And how do you have that personal relationship? You read your Bible. His Word speaks to us. You pray every day. There's your relationship. You just have to have a time with God. A personal time with God daily. If you're struggling with that, if you hear it and you understand it, but you can't execute it, you just need to, what was that thing we learned at camp? Stop it. I should have showed that video today. Nino warned me to have that video ready, but I didn't listen. I think that's going to have to come soon in another sermon. I think that's too good to pass by. Stop it. I know what you're going through, because Pastor Green did the same thing to me for years, and he bothered me about it, and I just didn't want to hear it anymore until the day I realized that there is nothing more important than my relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's a daily one. It's a daily one. And I keep emphasizing, pray and read your Bible, but never do it because the pastor said. See, that's the thing. It's like, you keep telling me, but you're not supposed to do it because the pastor said. It's because it's who you are. It's who you love. It's God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. It's the relationship. It should be a joy, amen? Amen. Not a task, not like, oh my God, I got to do this again. Now, don't get me wrong. There are days, right, that it's like that. But you know what I mean. You know, a relationship is hard work. Ask your spouse, right? ask your family. A relationship is work. It's intentional, hard work. Nothing's more important than that personal relationship. Nothing, not even ministry, church work. If you are working hard on ministry and church tasks, and you are not faithful to your daily reading and praying, you are in danger of going through the motions of Christianity without any power. Wow, that's deep, right? If you've got that backwards, you are in danger of going through ministry without power, which is you. And you don't want to go through service ministry, helping others, being the church, doing things for the Lord. You don't want to do that in your power. I want to say that again. You do not want to do that in your own power and your understanding. Amen? Because what will happen to you is that you will get like a hurricane whack you, right? The enemy will find the weakness and he'll run right through there and cause trouble. So please, just as you go through your growth in your Christian walk, as you grow in the Lord, it's about the relationship. And everything else after that, it comes and it's a joy. The work becomes a joy. Right? The doing what we need to do to help people, to whatever it is that we're doing for the Lord, it becomes a joy, not a chore. It becomes a joy. So that's commitment. To review last week, commitment brings salvation. People begin to get impacted. And I want to talk today about committing to God's plan. And let's start with Mark chapter 9, verse 29. Mark chapter 9, verse 29. Oh, I didn't mark my scriptures today. I'm going to have to find them. Mark 9, 29. Just one verse. I want to make sure I have the right one here. And he said unto them, this kind cannot come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. I put this scripture here just to reemphasize the point. And if you haven't written something down, you know, maybe figure out what you're supposed to write down here about this point, about the relationship. And you don't want to do ministry or working for the Lord without the power of God. This is the story of Jesus going to a situation where there was a lot of darkness and demons needed to be casted out. And he was doing the work, and Jesus was coming and praying for people, and people were being set free. And they asked him about that, and he said, this is the kind of stuff that does not happen unless there's prayer and fasting. You know what that tells me? To operate in the power of God, you better be praying. Amen? Fasting, praying, all those kind of things come together, but you get the point. Jesus is saying, this is stuff that requires it. So going back to making sure about having that personal relationship in prayer and reading your Bible and fasting at times as the Lord leads you, is Jesus himself made the point. This is stuff that you do when you're in prayer and fasting. So I wanted to, it is clear in God's word that Jesus, that prayer and fasting brought forth spiritual power. Amen? To cast out darkness. If you want more of God's presence and power in your life, in your service ministry, or whatever it is you're called to do, the answer is not to work harder, right? Or do more for God. The answer is to commit to praying, to fasting, to daily scripture reading, to those things where the power is. Amen? What will happen is this. As you grow stronger in your daily relationship with God, you will find joy in the work and the ministry, and you will work hard for His kingdom. Right? But it's so important that you get it in the right order. It's about the relationship. And everything else comes off of that. The Lord will start speaking to you there in prayer. You'll start, Lord wants me to help here. Lord wants me to do this. I really feel this, Pastor, what do you think? And, you know, and then things start coming together. But it always starts in the prayer closet. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. I want to combine 2 points and then kind of put it together here. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. We all kind of know that one by memory, maybe. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is a gift from God. We just read it. It is obvious that that is truth. Right? It is not up for interpretation. Salvation is a gift from God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. It is a gift given to mankind. You cannot earn your way into heaven by doing a list of tasks or by reading scriptures a certain way or doing things a certain way. There is no way to earn your way into salvation by doing some task. Amen? Right? It doesn't mean you won't be doing tasks, but that is not how you earn your way to salvation, because you don't earn a gift. It's a gift given to us by God our Father. So you don't earn your way. You cannot earn your way through purchasing it, right? If you have enough money, right? In Acts, we saw somebody trying to purchase their way to salvation, right? In the book of Acts. And what happened to them? They got slapped in the hand and said, you need to ask for forgiveness, right? I don't know if that was Peter or Paul, but one of them. You cannot earn your way to heaven by being good enough. If I just don't do the horrible things that person is doing, I must be okay. Right? I don't lie and cheat like that person. I don't steal. I don't commit adultery like that person. I don't murder like that person. I'm good enough. You do not get to heaven by being good enough. It is a free gift given to you by God. Salvation is pretty simple to understand. Basically, you and I don't deserve to be saved. Amen. That's pretty simple to understand. I know it's hard to admit because we think we're okay. But your simple carnal nature, it doesn't deserve it. Amen. Amen? Very simple to understand. It's hard to take, but simple to understand. We do not deserve to go to heaven and be with our eternal Father forever and ever. But because Jesus died for our sins, we are counted blameless. Isn't that beautiful? Because Jesus died and He rose. And by faith, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, by faith that we believe that the Messiah died for our sins and His sin washes our sins, because we don't deserve to go to heaven. When we have faith in that, then we are counted blameless. Blameless before our Father in heaven. Because Jesus died for our sins, we are counted blameless. And we are heirs to the kingdom of God. Amen. It's a beautiful story. It's the greatest love story ever told, right? It's beautiful. And sometimes I love Billy Graham so much because he always just stuck on this basic fact right here. Salvation. And he said it so powerfully. Because I know Billy Graham was spending time in the closet with his relationship. Because when he came out, salvations happened. Right? That's how you know. Right? How do you know if someone is spending time with their personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You will know, right? The light starts shining brighter and brighter and brighter. You'll know by the way they serve, right? You'll know by the way they do things for the kingdom of God. So here's the thing. Salvation is a gift from God. You can't earn it, right? It is a gift, freely given, and there it is. Then I want us to turn to Luke chapter 14 and combine two different thoughts and put it together. Because as I've said before, you don't want to read one scripture and make a whole denomination out of it, right? When you read the entire New Testament together and understand the Old Testament, how that leads into the New Testament, and you read the entire New Testament and you put it together, you'll come to realize that you can't just take one scripture from there and then say, oh, that's what God was saying. Because when you read the whole thing, sometimes it contradicts. But when you really look at it, the contradictions are not really contradictions. They're really saying one theme. Amen. That God is love. Right? And He loves us. So here you have that salvation is a gift. Great. Then you have this scripture where Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, consider the cost. Think about those two statements, right? One is a gift, and then Jesus saying, you want to follow me, it's going to cost you. Right? Could be contradictory in some people's eyes, but it's really not. Go to Luke chapter 14, verse 23. Counting the cost. We know this. Excuse me, this parable, this story. Well, and we'll repeat it because it's important. When it's in red, it means Jesus said it, right? In your Bible. At least it's red in my Bible. I don't know. Red. Okay. Is it red in the phone too? Wow, see, even on the phone. For you younger generations. Well, Demetrius, you know, you're not in that generation, 20s, but he knows how to use his phone, so more good for you. Counting the cost. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. Now, I want to make it clear right away. He is not talking to the 12 disciples. He is talking to the multitudes of people. And he says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So here's another one of those things where you just can't read the scripture and make a denomination out of it. Because if we just read that and went to live on that, we'd all be going and get rid of our family, right? Because Jesus said, I gotta be able to hate. And in this case, it doesn't mean hate. It means don't put before, right? Don't put before God. Don't put these things before Him. And that is truth. So when you read the entire New Testament, because later on it says that husbands and wives, you know, this is how you live and honor, children honor your parents, right? So why would it say this and then later on say that? Because when you read the whole thing, you understand that God is actually in unity with what He's saying. Don't put anything before Him. Not even your family. And that's truth. Amen? You will find when you put God in front of your family that your family will be united. When they all do that together, it will be united. If any man, verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it? Right? When you're going to build something or you're going to go buy a car, you got to make sure you have room in the monthly payments, right? Or you're a fool. Right? And we have a few fools, right? No. How many of you have a car you can't afford, right? Right? No, I'm just kidding. But how many, who does that? Verse 29, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, right? You don't just get into something and not understand the cost of it. Saying this man began to build and was not able to finish it. you'll be a laughingstock, right? Or what king is getting ready to go to war and sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador that desireth conditions of peace. So if you're a king and there's a war coming, you'll make sure you have enough to defend yourself. And if you don't, you better go compromise. Go make a deal. Right? So Jesus is using this parable, these stories, these illustrations, so we get the point. There is a cost, right? And you got to consider that. To war, there's a cost. To building, there's a cost. To bear his cross, there's a cost. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. There's a cost. Amen? And then he says this. So after he says this, he's saying that you got to forsake all. What does that mean? You got to die to self, right? You got to die to what your carnal will. You got to die. Forsake it. Then you understand how to be a slave for Christ. Later on in the New Testament, we read scriptures like that, right? Paul says, I'm a slave for Jesus Christ. How do you become a slave? He forsook all. His own will, he forsook. You getting the idea here? There is a cost. Salt is good, and right after that, he says, salt is good, but if salt have not lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears, hear. Salt. Basically, if you read between the lines here, if you don't forsake God, you're going to be saltless. Powerless. So, it is a precious gift. We're all excited. Now I'm hearing y'all like, whoa, there's a cost. Now the excitement kind of went serious, right? But they work together. They come together in unity, and that is let me go back 1 second before I finish that thought. Jesus makes it clear in Scripture that in order to be his disciple, you have to take up his cross and follow him. He uses illustrations so we can understand. If you're going to build something, don't you look at the cost to see if you can finish it? If you don't finish it, you'll be mocked. When a king prepares for war, doesn't he make sure he has enough fighters? Then Jesus makes it even easier to understand in verse 33 by saying, if you forsake not all, you cannot be his disciple. Jesus wasn't talking to the 12 disciples here. He was talking to a multitude. And verse 25 says, he was there standing in front of a great multitude of people. When we combine these two concepts, that salvation is a gift, and consider the cost. We can see that salvation is indeed a gift from God, and it will cost you everything. Right? Not money, but our will, our carnal will. Our carnal will. And they're very scriptural, and they go together, and you'll find many scriptures to support those two concepts. That it's a precious gift, for God so loved the world. He sent his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's it. There's no do's and don'ts after that. It's Jesus Christ. But when you have faith and believe and surrender to God's plan for your life, it costs you something. But I'm here to tell you, it's worth every penny. Every penny. It's his blessings are unmeasurable. They're unmeasurable. And it really, it's a cost in the sense of your carnal, sinful nature dying. It's dying anyway. Don't try to save it. Your flesh is dying, right? What's important are the things you can't see. What's important are the treasures you're going to build in heaven. So committing to the plan, to God's plan, is understanding first these two concepts. That it's a beautiful gift that we have. We've understood it. You're here today. You've accepted Christ as Savior. And you're here today. And now, understanding that it requires us to surrender our will. There's a cost there. But I know that you in this place today, because you're willing to surrender to God's plan, to commit. Ask Michelle to come. We're going to close. The promise still stands. I love that song. It still stands. It's good. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And you don't have to sing that song, by the way. You can sing whatever's on your heart. But He's a good God. And I really believe that we're talking about commitment the next weeks, last 2 weeks. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to our hearts. Reading your Bible and praying every day. That's a challenge to our hearts. Doing the right things. Committing to the plan. We are blessed to have this knowledge of salvation. You know, not everybody has this understanding like you do. You know, you're praying for them. They're your relatives. They're your friends. They don't get it like you get it. And we're blessed to have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But be ready to commit to the daily relationship of reading your Bible and praying, attending church, giving faithfully. Without the commitment, you will not finish building this house. You won't finish building the house without commitment. I encourage you today to jump into God's plan for your life. With both feet in. Not one foot, right? Both feet. Don't leave one foot out and put one foot in. Commit to God's plan. His promises, they still stand. If you close your eyes and bow your heads, if you're here today and you just heard a message and the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, and maybe you've run away or maybe you've been distant from God, it's time to commit to God's plan for your life. If you need to run back to the cross, if you need to ask God to forgive you, and you need to make sure your name's written in the book of life, you need to make sure you're in God's plan, I'm going to invite you. Because these are special moments where God's speaking to your heart. And if you know it's you and you come and you take that step, it changes you. It changes you. If there's anyone here that needs to run to the cross and commit to God's plan, ask God to forgive you and just move forward in this beautiful relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you, I'm going to count to three. Ask Michelle to sing a song, and I want you to come. And we won't hold it long, but it's important that if God is speaking to you, you react and you allow God to chip away at your heart. You allow God. And the cost is just to kill pride and come and let God do His work in you. One, two, three.